Warning, the following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
All right, Guardians of the Geekery, episode 178. 178! Again, Starnslord is not here. He's off with Field. No, he's not. He's in Boston.
We left him in the garage with Field.
He's pretty far afield.
He's actually off in Boston with Michelle Obama. I'm not saying anything's happening, but he and she are in the same room together. That's all I'm saying. Okay, you can't do that.
I already did.
But we're here with, well, not well. It's bow, chicka, bow, bow. But anyway. So we're here with Michael and Lindsay Stewart.
Hi guys.
And you're part of the Carolina Renaissance Festival.
Indeed. They refused to make me leave.
Yes. Which is a good thing. So if you want to hear them talking as their characters, Lord Mayor Bullfrog and Violet Queen of the Gypsies, make sure you go back and listen to episode 177, just one number less. But certainly not any less in our hearts. So,
indeed. it seems like it was only yesterday.
It was.
It seems like mere moments
ago.
Mere moments ago. And of course, Carolina Renaissance Festival is opening September 30th.
Renaissance
this weekend. We'll get through this. September 30th and going through November 14th.
19th.
We should have mentioned that when we did that episode.
Yeah, we probably should, well, you know.
We did.
It'll be in the show notes.
You did.
Several times. but go check that out. So definitely go see them. And when you do, say that you heard about them on Guardians of the Geekery, and they will deny knowing it at all.
Do you know that someone has done that?
Oh, really?
Someone said they heard the interview.
Really? Did they come from Africa? Because I heard we're very popular down there.
That's great. You have an international
most
podcast.
Most of the countries experiencing civil war.
It's very unnerving, but we're grateful. And we hope that we're helping you learn English.
Yes.
So, but yeah, every once in a while when I see our stats and I'm just like, who's listening to us in Lisbon? I just don't understand. So,
maybe you have geeks traveling abroad.
That could be.
Well, I can tell you the Lord Mayor does get friend requests from people who do not live in this country.
I do too, but usually it's a picture of a woman in underwear because the name Joey throws them.
I get a variety of folks from around the world, and merely players from which we do at our entertainment base gets a variety of people who just suddenly like us, and they don't live in the United States, so they haven't been to a trivia. We've not done a character.
Mine is like, hello, darling. I saw you online and think you have a large package. And I'm like, only
yes,
from FedEx.
I'm sorry. Are you Amazon?
Yeah. They're donations for the Geek Gala. I don't get to keep them. But yes. But anyway, so we had a flash fiction contest, speaking of Geek Gala.
Yes.
Flash fiction.
And we are very excited to have you guys here and help us out with reading the top two.
Yes.
So, and then we would like to start with our second place winner. Mm-hmm. And they will be winning two tickets to the Geek Gala. Lindsay.
Yay.
Will you take it away for us?
Absolutely. This is The Clash of the Giants by J.C. Craig. From the WTVB helicopter, Russell Dedrick surveyed the scene below. He did his best to describe what he was seeing to his viewing audience. It's unbelievable, but that there is what appears to be a giant reptile facing off against a tremendous winged cat, he said over the whir of the helicopter's engine. They have taken places at opposite ends of the field in Panther Stadium. I'd estimate the cat to be about 100 or so feet long from nose to tail. It's jet black and has feathery black wings. The reptile is about the same length and looks very much like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but has a ridge of plates along its spine, and... My eyes must be playing tricks on me, but he appears to have a pair of horn-rimmed glasses held together with what might be duct tape. Are you getting this, Abby? Back in the studio, Abyssinia looked closely at her monitor and asked, "What is that on the reptile's chest? It looks like a pocket." "Seems so," Russell responded. "It's lined with some kind of plastic sleeve and filled with what might be..." "Yes? Yes, they're gigantic pens. This monster seems to be some kind of Geekzilla." The enormous cat unfolded his wings and crouched down. He pulled something from beneath his left wing. With one swing of his enormous paw, he slapped down a large rectangular object. Abby shouted, "Russell, can you see what that is?" Russell paused. In that pause, Geekzilla slapped down a similar rectangle. "The colossal cat, I suppose we can call him Cece, has put down..." He paused again and continued. "He put down Beedrill. Geekzilla has countered with Squirtle." He shook his head and sighed. "It's not very effective."
So, congratulations. Well done. And I have to say, Lindsay, it kind of cracked me up that you actually put your hand to your ear.
Acting!
Even though we're an audio podcast.
I know, I can't help it.
No, I would have.
Actually, it's nice to be able to hear what that voice sounds like. So you actually do put a little depression in on that ear, so you can hear it resonate.
Sure, we're gonna go with that for you.
I'm an audio geek. Like, it's not even a thing.
Yes, and then of course our first place winner, who not only wins a pair of tickets to the Geek Gala, but also wins two tickets to the Evans Auditorium, where they're gonna have the Harry Potter Symphony.
Oh,
what?
The Sunday after.
I'm sorry,
the
that
gala.
Was like 4 octave higher than I normally do.
Yeah,
so you never know. Harry Potter concert. It's going to be over at Ovens, and tickets are still available for Sunday, October 22nd. If you're not going to go to the Carolina Renaissance Festival,
that's why
you may want to consider going to that. They do have performances Friday night as well.
There's
still a few. Last time I checked, there was maybe 100 tickets left.
Okay.
So you want to get on that right away. Of course, if you come to Geek Gala Muggles Market, you have a chance to win it as well. But without further ado.
Yes, I have the winning entry, as befits my station, from Freddie Silva Jr.
Woo!
999 words.
Yeah. Because it's 1,000 words or less, by the way.
Geekzilla saves the gala. Joey climbed down from my shoulder and into the side pocket of my backpack as I approached the bus stop. She was smart for a sugar glider, probably smarter than most of the kids waiting for the bus to arrive. She knew they would try to play with her and wasn't interested in their nonsense. I didn't blame her. I was tired of their nonsense too, but Mom said I had to ride the bus. "Hey, look, it's Geekzilla," one of the boys called out as I approached. Unfortunately, he had caught me looking at the Geek Gala website at the bus stop the day before. He was a big blonde kid with pudgy cheeks and an elementary school vocabulary. We weren't on a first-name basis, so I had dubbed him Brutus. Before Brutus had a chance to follow up his initial salvo with an even more elementary commentary, the bus rounded the corner and chugged up to our stop. He scowled my way as he mounted the bus with his posse of like-minded buffoons. They all headed to the back of the bus, where such riffraff belonged, and I took my accustomed seat right behind the driver. I pulled up the Charlotte Geeks website and clicked on Geek Gala. I couldn't wait until Saturday. Mom and Dad went every year, and this year they got me a ticket, too. Hello, they named me Luke Skywalker Jones. If only I could go back in time and explain to them that Star Trek ruled and get them to change my name to Kirk. Just as I shook my head at their folly, my phone screen blanked and then reloaded a different website. It read, "Due to unforeseen circumstances, the Geek Gala has been canceled."
Oh my God.
Sound effects are spontaneously added. It had a picture of the Geek Gala logo with one of those red circles with a slash through it. What? I scrolled to the bottom of the page and read, "Copyright, I hate geeks." What kind of monster would cancel the Geek Gala? I hopped off the bus at the next stop and ran back down the street. Joey emerged from my backpack and let out a series of chittering barks as she made her way to my shoulder. She usually slept the day away. And was a bit put out by my sudden exertion. "It's an emergency," I replied as I huffed down the sidewalk. "My parents should be gone to work by now. That gave me a day to get to the bottom of this. Besides, if they found out the Geek Gala was canceled, they would probably join me in my investigation." When I got to the front door, our chihuahua Poindexter was barking up a storm. "Hush," I said as I pulled open the door. Poindexter hopped around my feet as I headed upstairs. Once in my room, I sat down at my desk and pulled up the page on my laptop. "Computers are my superpower. I learned it from my dad." In less than an hour, I had the name of the company that posted the website. Acme Corporation. Somebody thinks they're funny. Not so smart, though, because I also found an email address and a phone number. I pulled out my phone, put it on speaker, and dialed the number. After only one ring, it picked up. "Hello?" "Hello," I said. "Who is this, and why is the Geek Gala canceled?" "You can call me Willie." "Well, Willie," I tried hard to keep calm, "why is the Geek Gala canceled? I already have my costume." I looked in the corner where my Geekzilla costume lay waiting. The man on the other end laughed. "Ha ha. Tell you what, meet me in the Ballantine Hotel parking lot in an hour, in costume, and maybe I'll reconsider." He hung up. I looked up the Ballantine Hotel on my phone. It was 15 minutes away by car. Unfortunately, I only had a bike. I mapped out a bike-friendly route and got moving. My costume was a bit bulky, being a Godzilla costume with a pocket protector and one of those propeller beanie caps glued to its head. I couldn't fold it, and there was no way I would be able to strap it on my handlebars. What else could I do but put it on? Once dressed, I headed down to the garage and pulled out my bike. Poindexter started going crazy when he saw where I was going. I usually took him along on my bike rides. I had a baby carrier thing strapped to my handlebars that he liked to ride in. He always sulked when I left him behind and usually tore something up to get even. I looked down at my pain of a dog and shook my Geekzilla head. Who knows what he would do if I left him behind? What the hell? Every hero needs a sidekick. Maybe he'll bite this guy for me. 5 minutes later, I'm riding down the street on my mountain bike in my Geekzilla costume, steering with one hand while looking at the Google map on my phone. Poindexter is in front with his tongue hanging out, and Joey is riding on my lizardy shoulder. By the time I reached the Ballantine Hotel, I was sticky with sweat. As I rolled into the parking lot, I spied a brown shape leaning on a car. It was someone dressed as Wile E. Coyote, and they started waving at me. I got off my bike and walked over, Poindexter barking at my feet and his hackles raised. "Are you Willie?" "I prefer Wile E," he said as he pulled off his coyote head. "It was my dad." "How do you like my costume?" A mixture of emotion ran through me, but I mostly felt relieved. He pulled out a Geek Gala ticket out of his costume and held it out to me. It looks like the Geek Gala is back on. Woo! I would like to thank the Emmys and all the people that listen to this.
I would like to thank the Emmys and the Oscars and all the other guys named.
Exactly, named after award shows.
Yeah, so obviously I don't read any of the ones that we vote for because I never knew I was a sugar of Clyder sitting on somebody's shoulder.
And you like to sleep, but you like to sleep the day away. That could be accurate.
Carol pulled up a picture of a sugar glider to make sure that Joey knew what her namesake looked like.
Well, you know, there was the guy at Mysticon every year that always shows us just get our sugar glider.
Does he show you his
sugar glider?
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, Freddie, you have won 2 tickets to the Geek Gala, as well as 2 tickets to the Harry Potter show. I don't know what you're going to do with your mom. So.
I want to say, good going, Freddie. I loved it. I love reading it.
That was fun. And then definitely, J.C. Craig, you have won 2 tickets to the gala as well. And thank you to everybody else who entered, and we appreciate that. And if you missed out,
next time, dude.
So, excuse me. Without further ado, we'll go right into our episode. News. Yeah. So
news and views. Yes.
Yes. So we have some sad news. As Carol likes to always start off with the rest in peace.
Well, it's better than ending with the rest in peace.
I understand. and I'm just going to always give you crap about
it. Maybe we should throw it in the middle. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, this person died. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this time, it's not a person. It's whole people.
It's whole people. Yeah, well, they didn't, like, kill the Inhumans. Yeah. They just canceled it.
But before it ever aired. So that was just unhuman of them.
It's just very inhuman of ABC. So yes, before the first episode aired, ABC has just proclaimed that this is the one and only season of Inhumans. Oh. They're calling it the complete
series. So they're still going to air it. Yeah, they just canceled it before they started it.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to do more than just this one season.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll show the entire season, but you don't know. I mean, look what Fox did with Firefly.
Podcast. She's flipping the bird.
To those Fox executives. But yeah, they are calling this the complete series. But this has kind of been plagued since the get-go. It's not getting great reviews. The IMAX.
Yeah. I was going to say they did the IMAX showing, and I don't know that I saw that anybody really got into it. I had friends who went dressed. They went and saw it while they were down at Dragon Con, and they went dressed in formal wear versions of Black Bolt and Medusa. And it was wonderful. And it's actually my friend who was the cover of the Uncanny Inhumans with the Marvel cosplay covers.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, they were really excited, and they came back, and they didn't really talk a whole lot about it. So, When you're a big fan of something and it's not getting you excited, it makes you sad.
I keep thinking it's Gifted because I've seen more, you know, commercials for Gifted, and of course Amy Acker's in that and stuff like that, than I have for the other. So,
but I don't watch network TV, so I'm not seeing a whole lot of Inhumans promos.
Yeah,
because I don't watch ABC.
No, I'm not seeing a lot of Inhumans promos. But you know, it's interesting because we're dealing with this sort of schism within Marvel in general, right? We've got this is the mutants, and they've killed off the mutants in the comic books for a time, and they're not able to reproduce and all that. So they get rid of this because they were doing this rise of the Inhumans, right? They're really working on this idea of the Inhumans. They did it in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They did, and I you can feel the great split in Marvel, I think. And I'm sorry to hear that the Inhumans isn't going to be more than a season. It's not enough time to flesh out.
No, it's not enough time to do anything with it. So. I don't think it's gonna. I don't know. I'll probably give it a shot if it shows up on Hulu or something because I don't have network TV.
So with that being more of the rest in peace, coming back from the dead, we have.
Yeah, just wait.
Yeah. But Doctor Who, there was a series went back with the fourth Doctor, Tom Baker, that unfortunately had been totally written out. But then part of it got canceled because of the writer's strike over there. Yeah. And so they ended up shelving the story. And now 40 years later, Tom Baker, as well as his companion, are coming back. And they're actually recording it. It's going to be audio drama.
Yeah, so this is Shada for those Fourth Doctor fans out there. This is the episode, or the story arc that was written by Douglas Adams.
Originally. Oh, cool.
They filmed parts of it, and you can see the parts that they filmed in the Five Doctors, where the Fourth Doctor is kind of stuck in a time loop.
It was a temporal vortex,
because they couldn't get Tom Baker to actually agree to do it. So they just used bits from what they had filmed of Shada. But yeah, he's going to come back and do the voice, and I think they do actually have Lala Ward coming back as Romana.
They do.
Cool.
Which will be interesting, because they were married when they filmed Shada. And now they're not, of course.
But, Tom Baker's in his 80s.
He's 83. She's married to Richard Dawkins. I don't think she cares.
Yeah, I think they're past it.
Yeah, they're way past it.
So definitely that. And then it's another week of things back from the dead. So evidently there's going to be a reboot of Dune.
Yes. Denis Villeneuve, who has seemed to become the go-to director for avant-garde sci-fi, is going to be directing an upcoming Dune reboot. He directed The Arrival and the upcoming Blade Runner 2049.
I think it's
2049. I think it's got to be more than... Yeah, 2049, yeah. So, yeah. So, he's going to do a new... and he's working with Brian Herbert. So, wow. Who is the son of Frank Herbert. Son.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what... if it improves on Lynch's Dune.
I love that this is being announced at the time that the pumpkin spice must flow. Like, I just feel like the timing of that's kind of funny.
I love my David Lynch, but that was problematic. But, the problem with Dune is, if you've ever read the books, they are so incredibly dense.
Yes, they
and
are.
It is a lot of politics. Mm-hmm. Which is difficult to just translate onto the screen and yeah. have it be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, in print, yeah. it's amazingly interesting, but...
Yeah, I just think it becomes a challenge, but I do think that there's technology available now that certainly wasn't available
yeah.
then.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
there's stuff that they can do, but...
They can truly capture the ornithopters yeah. flying around the dune.
The sandworms at least will look better. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. But yeah. so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah.
And Alicia Witt could come back.
True. She's yeah. done with Twin Peaks now because she did actually show back up on the return of Twin
yeah.
Peaks.
Maybe briefly. Patrick Stewart will be in it again.
There we go. You pop. Yeah. You young pop.
Alicia Witt is the one with red hair. No offense. Red hair, right?
Yeah.
She's just tapped me on the arm and gone, no offense.
I don't want you to think, like,
it's,
what
it's
are you
cool.
going to say about people
mine's,
with red hair?
Mine's from a bottle anyway. I'm cool.
Yeah, so is mine.
Yes!
I'm not a natural purple.
I thought you were.
No.
Is it weird that I've hated her ever since the movie 2 Weeks Notice with Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock? She was like, she got in the middle of them, and I weirdly have this, like, prejudice against her now, even though I... completely understand it's a movie and you needed a source of conflict. I don't like her.
I hated Donald Sutherland from The Eagle Has Landed when he was a spy for the Nazis.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Donald Sutherland, you know. It's just
right.
I was young and I didn't.
Right.
Jason Alexander, who played George Costanza on
yeah.
Friends, has said that people to this day still hate him for the role that he played in Pretty Woman. And we're talking about
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I think
so you are not the only one, and she is not the only one.
Yeah.
And it will continue
it,
happening.
It really does stick with you. So, but you watched a show called Atlanta.
I did.
So, when you told me to put it on the thing, I wasn't sure if that was just you talking about the city in general. Or...
so, I went to Atlanta.
I haven't been in a while, but I could try.
I go once a year, and that's
yeah,
it.
Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So it's an FX show, and it's created and starring Donald Glover, who just last week won the Emmy for lead actor in a comedy series, and also I think he won for directing an episode as well. And basically he plays, his name's Ernest, but he calls himself Earn, and he is a Princeton dropout living down in Atlanta where he grew up, and he's a unmarried father, and the mother's in the picture, and kind of in this dead-end job, and his friend, he's at work, and his friend shows him a video of this guy rapping, and he's like, that's my cousin. Donald Glover's character says, that's my cousin, so he goes to visit his cousin, who is called Paperboy, and is a rapper, and kind of unsigned yet, and up and coming, and he basically goes and says, hey, I want to be your manager, and it's kind of implied, it's not quite said, that you feel that Earn also has aspirations to be a rapper. And really the show is just about, Atlanta plays a character in and of itself, and
mm-hmm.
sort of the relationships that people have and how people sort of evolve in their life and family and sort of getting your dream and how you feel it should be achieved. And so, because he's kind of marching to his own beat a little bit. Like, everyone around him is like, we understand that you have this goal, but, like, why can't you do this, this, and this? And his big thing is, I have to do it my way or whatever. And it's incredibly well written, I have to say, and really, really engaging. And there's this one episode in the middle of the season where they basically do a spoof of BET, and they call it Black Entertainment Ben or something, Black Alternative Network. And the entire episode is fake commercials and a fake show called Montague, which is basically a talk show, and it's attacking the rapper because he has what they feel is bad feelings towards trans people, and they have this professor there, and it is incredibly funny, the discourse between these two people. And the commercials were really, really spot on. And I really couldn't say, I mean, well-deserved for Donald Glover. He's fantastic in the show, and the show is really, really good for a topic that, I mean, I can't really relate to, but I felt a part of that world. So I would say check it out. It's on Hulu now.
Cool. Awesome. And Carol, you watched BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, I started watching BoJack Horseman. This has been recommended to me for a couple years now, since it started. And I always had this vision that it was kind of an Adult Swim, kind of juvenile humor show. And it's not, actually. It's about BoJack Horseman, it's an animated show. He's a horseman. He's got a horse head, but he's a guy. And this is a world where animals just coincide with people. And he's an actor, and he used to be on this 90s sitcom called Horsin' Around, where his character adopted three orphans. And he's kind of living off the residuals of that. And it's produced by Will Arnett, who does the voice of BoJack. And I have to say, for an animated show, it deals with some really just amazing, like, the consequences of fame and depression and how to get over, you know, that one big shining moment in your life and you're never living up to it after that. It's actually really adult natured, and it's not really juvenile, and I really like it. So I'm almost through the third season now, and they just released the fourth season, so I'll continue watching it. But it gets a little darker and darker and darker as it goes. And I'm thinking BoJack's gonna hit bottom at some point, hopefully, and then work his way back up, because every time I think he's hit bottom, he kind of sinks a little lower.
But
it is, I recommend it. It's actually, it's kind of funny, and it's actually very touching for an animated show about a guy with a horse head.
if that really existed, what do you think your head would be?
It'd be a cat. Seriously, watching this show, I came to the realization, his agent is a cat, and she's Princess Caroline. That's her name, Princess Caroline. And she's his agent. And I'm like, about halfway through the second season, I was like, oh, Jesus, I am Princess Caroline because of her story arc. I'm like, oh, shit.
What would you be, Michael?
I was just going to say, I was watching the new DuckTales. I don't know if I can follow this. I'd have to have a bullfrog head, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, everything would have to be a bullfrog. So, and then, of course, you recently cosplayed as Kermit the Frog, so
I've done two versions of Kermit so far. I'm basically a Muppet. So yeah, he'd be a frog head. I'm not sure for me. Probably a cat.
But
for me,
yeah, probably yeah. She's a cat. She is. There's hair on everything I own. She knocks the mouse out of my hand. The
computer. Yeah.
Well, a Joey's a baby kangaroo. Or a sugar
glider. Or a sugar glider is required today.
So one of those two would probably work just fine.
But it's interesting, in this show, you can marry cross species. Like, there's a family of human and deer, and they have two children, one's human, one's deer. So it just kind of throws everything out the window.
Wow.
And there's one entire episode where he goes to a film festival that's under the sea, and he doesn't figure out how to work his mechanism to talk on his little his air bubble thing. So the entire episode is dialogue free. It's just little glub glub noises when everyone's trying to talk. And it's actually a great episode. And at the very end, he figures out what the button's for. He's like, oh, god damn it.
Well, I watched the new episode of The Guest Book. If you haven't watched this, I would definitely recommend it. Again, it's little single vignettes of people coming to a cottage and renting it for the weekend or the week, and mm-hmm. it's what happens with them. There are recurring storylines with the people of the town that are side arcs, but the main story is always about that. And this week, part of it was about a young boy who comes to Rumspringa. Oh. And comes to this cabin because it said it was God's country. And then he uses a revolver and spins a revolver like spin the bottle to determine what his move is going to be next. And he falls in love with Brittany Murphy on 8 Mile and decides that the Lord wants him to go marry her. And then somebody explains that she's been dead for years. And so then he figures that the Lord wants him to do is to die and go join her. Oh. So he tries to borrow a bullet, and the bullet doesn't fit the gun. So, yeah.
Hilarity ensued.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those shows where it's this really inappropriate stuff happening, like last week where we talked about where the woman was trying to help the Alzheimer's patient remember who he was and found out that he was from the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, but it's funny. I just, you have to watch it. You know, in this age of political correctness, 25 minutes of a little incorrect kind of helps keep you balanced. The show knows that it's wrong and deals with it that it's wrong, but it does it with a sardonic twist. And there was one scene at the end, and I'm going to go ahead and spoil the episode for you because there's 8 others still to watch, that he ends up trying to... There's an earlier episode where they use this macrame owl. This guy unties it to use it to help kill this guy that's trying to blackmail him, but he doesn't kill him. But anyway, before he leaves, he tries to put the macrame back together, and it's horrible. So then the guy from Rumspringa uses it to try to hang himself. But of course, the balcony bar breaks, and so all he ends up doing is breaking his foot and going to the hospital. And while he's in the hospital, he falls in love with Marcia Brady.
And not going to catch a break, that guy.
Yeah, so he ends up going out to Hollywood and finding her, and she's on the set of some show, and she comes out, and she sees the guy, she goes, "Let me guess, you're on Rumspringa? Okay, come in. I will find a way for you to get home." But, I mean, it's just hilarious. So, and at the end, everybody writes their story in the guest mm-hmm. book. Mm-hmm. So he said, "I'm not sure what your macrame was supposed to look like before, so I just made it into an owl. I hope that's okay." Which is what it was in the beginning. So it's hilarious. So anyway, so definitely watch that. You also have Channel Zero on your list. What's Channel Zero?
Channel Zero is a show. It's a sci-fi show.
Sci-fi, for those of you who don't get it.
Sci-fi.
It's the hipster geek in her saying sci-fi. Go ahead.
I hated when they changed it, and I'm going to continue to call them sci-fi.
That's fine.
Even when I like their shows, because I do like this one. It deals with creepypastas. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, they're online internet stories, kind of like Slender Man and a bunch of other things. Last season, they dealt with Candle Cove, which was a children's show that pops up in the middle of the night on TVs and kind of brainwashes children. This season is called The No End House, which deals with a haunted house type deal where people are getting strange commercials on their phone and they go to this address and they're basically psychologically tortured in this house. So I'm only a couple episodes in. I'll finish the season and then give a report after this, but I recommend this show. I really actually liked it. I thought the first season was really well done and very creepy. And this season's turning out to be quite the same. So, I highly recommend it.
So, with Starnes Ward up in New England, I had some free time, and I'm trying not to watch Supernatural and all the shows we watch together, like The Orville, which is why we'll wait to talk about that next week.
And we're not allowed to talk about that.
You're not allowed to talk about it. Fight Club, I'm sorry. So, I was on Amazon Prime, and a show called One Mississippi popped up, and it had Tig Notaro in it, and so I decided to watch it. Actually has 2 seasons. There's only 6 episodes per season. It's about a half an hour show or so. So it only took me, 6 hours to watch it over the course of the weekend. But I did pretty much watch it straight through. So Tig Notaro, it's semi-autobiographical because she did deal with cancer. And she has a very deadpan kind of way to deal with it. It's produced by Louis C.K., and I have to say that the writing is amazing. But even more than that, a lot of times with comedians, etc., they're not always good actors. And so you always are a little cautious when somebody who you don't know becomes the front runner. I realize she's famous, but I didn't know her. And it's really good, and it's really touching, and funny. But it's more of a sardonic funny. It's not like a guest book, this is so wrong kind of thing. But basically, she's dealing with rectal cancer at the very first episode. And she has to get on a plane and fly there because her mother had fallen and had started bleeding and was now in intensive care. And basically, the first episode is about her dealing with her mother's death. At the same time, she's having to go to the bathroom every 20 minutes because of this rectal cancer, and the surgery's not working and stuff like that. And then just the oddness of dealing with things, like when your mother dies and, you know, they thought everybody was fine, so they send everybody home, so she's there alone and she's not sure what to do. And she was like, well, what do I do now? Do I just leave? You know, she's passed, because you've been there for days waiting for that final hours. Mm-hmm. And she has those little split screen moments where they're like, no, you can't leave. You have to take her with you. And they show her like rolling her mom in the bed down the aisle, and everybody's like saying goodbye to the mom, even though the mom's like dead. And, you know, that whole thing. And then, you know, and then of course it flips back to the present, and the girl's like, yeah, you can go. We've got it. You know, we've got it all handled. So it's interesting because it's not laugh out. There's definitely funny moments, but it also deals with the fact that her character in real life, she's gay. And her parents and her family is in Mississippi. So she's hanging out in Mississippi.
Good luck with that.
and dealing with some of that and having to deal with, or Louisiana. Yeah. But she's in Louisiana, one Mississippi, but she's dealing with that and having to kind of, you know, do I deal with the mother's effects? And of course, there's a lot of complexity. Her stepfather is one of these guys who's very, like, you almost get the feeling that he's on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. He's very organized and very detailed, and he's very, like, well, technically I'm not your family anymore because your mother has died, and mm-hmm. in her will she left everything to you, so you'll need to get it out because it's no longer my property. And it's not that he's trying to be mean. He's just like...
He's being matter-of-fact about
it's
things.
Reality.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she's just kind of... She knows that that's who he is, but, you know, she's also dealing with the death of her mom, and mm-hmm. and he's like, well, you know, that chair has a stain on it, so we need to get rid of it. And she's mm-hmm. like, but it's the chair she sat in every day. Don't you want it? And he's like, no, I do not want it.
Yeah.
But it's that odd little contrast. So,
yeah.
And then her brother is like living upstairs because he said he would fix it up, but you walk upstairs and there's plaster and wallboard everywhere and stuff like that. So it's a very complex story. It's compelling enough that each time I was like, I'll just watch one more. So I highly recommend it. Again, only 6 episodes a season, 2 seasons currently on Amazon Prime. So, you know, won't take a lot of your time to catch up, but definitely recommend that. And you went to the Charlotte Film Festival.
Yes, which is still going on. It started last Friday and it's going through Sunday the 31st.
Right. And that's over at Ayerslie, right?
Yeah, at Ayerslie Grand Cinema. I've seen 3 films so far. We're going back again tomorrow. I saw a really wonderful documentary, a 90-minute documentary on a 2-minute scene. It was called 7852, which is a documentary on the shower scene from Psycho.
Oh.
Where they dissect the scene. And the title comes from the fact that there were 78 camera setups and 52 edits in the scene itself. And they talked to the body double of Janet Leigh, because she did actually have a body double for that scene. And they talked to a bunch of different directors watching the scene and kind of going over how it was directed and how masterfully it was directed, because it seriously is... It's amazing how... what he got on screen and what he didn't show you, because you never see the knife actually stabbing her, and you know, you never see actual nudity.
But people think they do because
yes.
of the way that they cut it.
Because of the way they cut it.
Taken away from it.
Yeah, because of the way they cut it, people are just sure that they saw her boobs, and they're sure that they saw the knife, you know, stab her. But they didn't, and it did...
Do they talk about it? His wife's editing as well?
A little bit, but mostly just the editing of that scene and the storyboarding of that scene. And also the fact that this was 1960, and if it wasn't Alfred Hitchcock, this probably would not have gotten made, because he broke so many rules with just this one scene, not just because he killed off the star of the movie, and the highest paid actor on the set, who was Janet Leigh. And things you don't think about, like Marion throws paper in the toilet and flushes the toilet. That was the first time in a Hollywood movie the toilet had been shown flushing, because you just didn't show that. So it's just little things like that. The cleanup after the murder, nobody shows that on the screen. They just show it's like, you're dead, and then, you know, cut to the next scene. And here you're having this really elongated cleanup scene with Anthony Hopkins, or Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins.
That would have been a different movie. That would have been a totally different movie. I wouldn't have stayed at the Bates Hotel if it was Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Perkins, yeah, I'd be dead.
Oh, Clarice.
It just, you only have one thing on the room service menu.
But it just broke so many rules. And, you know, it was so funny because somebody brought up that the movie that Hitchcock did right before Psycho was North by Northwest, which ends on one of the most blatantly obvious sexual innuendo scenes, where they fall on the bed and then a train is shown going into the tunnel and that's the end. And then this is his next movie opens with a post-coital scene in a hotel room. It's like, I don't know if that was planned, but that was very well done, Mr. Hitchcock. But yeah, I thought it was fascinating. I love Psycho, the movie. So I found the whole thing fascinating. So yeah, it was 90 minutes about a tiny little scene in Psycho.
But it was a very pivotal scene, like you said. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and it's not just pivotal for that film. It's pivotal for cinematic history in general. So it's more than just repercussions for the film. That's had shockwaves throughout the industry for decades now.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of the birth of the slasher film.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween basically put it in mainstream, but this was kind of the
with her daughter.
And they actually talked to Jamie Lee Curtis because she mimics that scene. I don't know if anyone watched Scream Queens, but she actually, for years they had asked her, would you mimic this scene in different movies? And she said, no, that's my mother's territory. I'm not going
to
tread on that. But for Scream Queens, she actually does. There is a shower scene.
Hilarious.
And it was hilarious because the guy comes in and the shower's empty and she comes out from behind the door. She's like, I've seen that film 50 fucking times.
And she kicks his butt and he goes running off.
So they have, you know, they talk with Osgood Perkins, who is Anthony Perkins' son and who's now a horror director. And he brought up one of the problems I've always had with the scene, which is Janet Leigh gets into the shower and then turns it on. And I'm like, who does that?
Who does that?
But nobody wants that first cold spray that's sitting in.
No, you got to let that sit.
But they also brought up little things that I'd never noticed in the scene before. Like, it's the only time Marion is shown smiling in the film. Actively smiling. Not like that grimace, like... smile, but an actual smile. She's in the shower and she's washing her sins off because she's decided to go back and everything's fine. And then, of course, you know, Norman kills her. Oops.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Too soon?
No.
So, yeah, I recommend that. I also went and saw a local horror film called Feral, which wasn't quite as good. And then they did the restoration of Suspiria, which is beautiful to look at, but not my favorite film, but still colorful and beautiful to look at. I can't stand the soundtrack. I just can't. I can't do that Goblin soundtrack. I can't.
It's so tough. Well, Dancing with the Stars had 2 episodes this week. We're only at week 2, and they made them learn 2 dances in the very first week. It was very...
Those bastards.
That's unheard of. But the good news is, and Stan, I'm sorry if you're listening, because I know he's not caught up yet, is that... they did eliminate the right person the very first episode. So I always am frustrated when somebody who's a bad dancer stays around for a long time because they're popular. And this one, the woman was a bad dancer and she was groping poor Keo. But it was the curse of Keo. He lost. He was his partner. He's been on the show 4 seasons, and other than one girl, like by the second or third episode, he's always canned. So, so he's out of the show now. But last night was Latin night, and everybody did really well, which was not typical because usually there's somebody that clearly should go, and I couldn't sit there and say that person should go. And they cut Debbie Gibson. Electric Youth was not so much, so I'm really sad about that. But it seems to be an interesting season. That's Tiffany.
Oh, it's Tiffany. That's right. My apologies.
Thank you for playing.
There's going to be a cat fight. You get Tiffany and Debbie Gibson.
I'd watch that.
But yeah, so it's going to be an interesting season. But it seems like because of the fact that it's the fall season and there's a lot going on, they're kind of squishing it in between different things. So.
Can I just say how sad it was that how quickly Joey just... That was Tiffany.
Yeah. It was like it was personal.
Well,
maybe we should talk about the Orville.
Actually, the thing that was funny to me is, honestly, and I'm going to have a little self-fangirl moment, is that when we went on to talk about the Geek Gala on Charlotte today with Colleen Odegaard, and we were talking about fandoms and geekery and how being a geek just means you're passionate about something. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're passionate about it, you know, any fandom is okay.
That's
and
right.
She's like, well, I'm really into Tiffany and Songs of the 80s. Would that make me a geek? And I'm like, no, that's just sad. And I had a great, it was a great moment. And her co-star laughed. But you know what? Her co-star's not that same co-star anymore. And I've not been asked back.
So totally fired.
Kind of Megyn Kelly'd on the Today Show.
Oh my God. I watched both of those gaffes. She's done two in 1 week. She did the thing with Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And then she turned around and said something to Jane Fonda. I'm like,
that one I haven't heard yet.
Oh yeah, she was like talking about the fact that she looked so great for her age and all that stuff, and the fact that she'd openly admitted she had plastic surgery, and let's talk about that. And she said, no, I'd actually like to talk about the movie that I'm on here to promote.
The reason I'm here.
And she says, but you look so great and all that stuff. And she's like, well, that's not what I'm going to talk about. So
right.
It's like Jane Fonda, I mean, whatever. I mean, she's been around for a long time. And you get Jane Fonda and Robert Redford sitting on your couch.
You don't go, so let's talk about your looks.
So, do you like boys? No, you talk about what they're here
so
to talk about.
Who does your nails? Let's not talk about your impressive body of work. Let's just talk about girl
let's
stuff.
Let's just talk about your impressive body.
Yeah.
That's, man, that is a...
I mean, follow the guidelines.
She's a journalist.
Yeah, well, I don't think that... I think that whoever did her hair last time put a little too much peroxide too close to her brain hole. That's all I'm saying. It's not going to go well for you, Meg. So, all right. Well, Geek Gala.
Geek Gala. I will say one thing, because as the resident Trekkie of the Guardians, I am not talking about Discovery.
Okay.
The reason why is because they want to make you pay to watch Discovery. And I think that's a very un-Trek thing to do. So I'm not going to watch it until
Trek yourself before you wreck yourself.
That's right.
I
don't want another streaming service. I already have Netflix and Hulu and HBO. And I'm like, it's only $7 a month, but it's another $7 a month that I don't need to pay for one show.
Exactly, for just a couple of hours of programming.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they do have the first episode free, but it is only one half of a 2-hour premiere. So I kind of did a little, fuck you, I'm going to wait until you put it on another streaming service.
Yeah.
And then I will give my opinion.
And in the meantime, Leland Grace is on Hulu, and Orville's out there. The costumes are almost the same. And I've heard that the third episode is fabulous, and we will talk about
it. Yeah, the third episode, I am just going to say this, the third episode is probably the best episode of Star Trek I've seen since Deep Space Nine, and it's not a Trek show.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes, I think that's a great assessment of that.
Yeah. So, we'll be back next week. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Make sure you go back and listen to episodes 177 and 104 and 52 so that you can hear all the times that Michael has been on, and then of course go back and listen to 104 and you can hear Lindsay as well. And you've been on. This is your third time.
This is my fourth time, because I was here talking about an event that my workplace put on
ASPE.
In April for ASPECon. So for me as a geek, I've been listening a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing things like how they portray the Spectrum in The Good Doctor.
And, oh, it was
and,
good.
Yeah, so...
But I would be interested in somebody else.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, I only... know it by association.
Yep.
So
I live it. So I yeah. will. I will follow along and,
I thought it was
and be happy to talk with you.
I always feel like you have to go beyond the first episode of
yes.
something.
Yes.
CBS. Yeah, are you hearing me? Because you're world building mm-hmm. and you're having to establish so much narrative that sometimes the first episode may not be the strongest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it intrigues me enough to watch it again. And that was the same thing that happened with The Orville. And it
yeah.
sounds like it's going an upward trend.
I like to give something, you know, 4 or 5 episodes to really decide whether or not I'm going to commit to it. Which is why I'm grateful that the Orville had such a wonderful, and you'll get to watch it, 3rd episode. So I'm looking forward to looking at the Good Doctor, and seeing how the autism spectrum is portrayed and how it affects the people in the world around him as well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
RenFestInfo.com, GeekGala.com.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Hey. October 1st, if you want to get a t-shirt, if it's after October 1st, you can still get your tickets online. They're going to be cheaper than at the door. If you want to come even cheaper, you could be a talent in our talent show and have your chance to win $150 cash. And you can check all that out at geekgala.com. If you go on the charlottegeeks.com website or geekgala.com or mugglesmarket.com, they all go to the same website, just different parts of it. You can actually listen to our radio interview over with Beasley Entertainment, which you may have heard on the local radio stations this weekend and the past weekend. So... we were on there. I was getting a little bit giddy. So go and check that
no.
out. And how does that happen?
No way.
Yeah. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and end this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery. And on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.